Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on Hill Radio Show. We're so glad that you've joined us. Tonight, we are going to be joined by Troy Towns and Coach Prazek, and we're going to be talking about education. You know, we are really very concerned about today's education. There's so many things going on that people do not still realize about children, but we're hoping more people know than they did many years ago. We're hearing stories. We're even hearing stories from teachers. You know, they have seen that this new education called the Common Core has really affected a lot of children badly. And I see we are joined by our two dear speakers, Coach Prazek and, I think, Troy Towns. Are you all with us?
Yes, I am here.
Great. And I think I hear Troy, and I think, Coach Prazek, did I hear you too?
I've got my coffee and eagerly listening.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well... Okay, you know how we always love to start the show, and I'd like to ask Troy Towns, would you mind, which Troy is a pastor, I should address him as such, Pastor Troy Towns, would you mind setting us off with some of your thoughts and a nugget from the Lord that you may want to give us or something you may want to share, and then go into starting us off with prayer?
Yeah, let's go into prayer, and then we'll see where the Lord takes us from there. So, Father, we just come before you right now, Father, and even with Diana and Coach Prazek and other believers, Lord, that are listening tonight, Father, we join our faith tonight, Father. We take beams of light, we bring them together, we concentrate them, Father, in a common theme and common faith, Father, and we make several beams into a laser tonight, Father. And we're reminded of your word, which says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So even as we touch and agree, believing, Lord, we just thank you that you are continuing to help us in our fight and in our struggle, Lord, in education and even in our in government, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are hearing our prayers, Father. You are giving us new wisdom, Father, giving us new ideas as we continue, Lord, to fight this battle, Lord. You have called us to be more than conquerors, to be warriors and more than conquerors, Father. So we thank you, Lord. We rely on your spirit, Father, to strengthen us, to keep us, Lord, full of joy. For your word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, Father. And so when we lose our joy, Lord, we lose our enthusiasm, we lose our strength. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask that you give us a new outpouring, Lord, of the joy, your joy, Lord, in our deep down in our spirits, Father. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you even for tonight and being on the show tonight, Father. And we just pray tonight, Father, that iron will sharpen iron tonight, Father. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for every victory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much. I hadn't heard from you, Troy, in a while, so just really so thankful you were able to make it. I know you're very busy, and Coach Prazek, you are too. But I guess I'll start off with something good just to kind of help people, and then we'll go into the topic, which is the victory of Alabama this weekend over another great team. But what I really want to highlight is really the story that everybody can share and kind of, you know, relish, which is the story of trusting in God that was exhibited by Jalen Hurts. And he made reference to that in a speech when he was asked to look at, you know, what happened. So with that in mind, you know, I think this is a lesson for young people, well, and old people, everybody, that just when it looks so bleak and dark, as if, you know, you were not meant to do what you thought you were meant to do, you know, perseverance and just really trusting in God makes a difference. What are your thoughts on that? Pastor Troy?
Well, I heard the comments from him, Jalen Hurts, and I, you know, it was so awesome because, and I'm an Auburn fan, you know, let me preface my statement by saying I'm an Auburn fan, but Alabama is so blessed to have the two men playing quarterback that they have. Both of them are such strong, strong believers, and I just like to say how much character he showed. I was actually in Texas when the game was being played, and we watched it, and my wife and I were texting each other back and forth during the game, and we both were actually pulling for Georgia. And then my wife said, when Jalen came in the game, she said, you know, Troy, she said, you know, I'm actually pulling for Jalen. You know, I kind of hope they win because the character and the class that he showed in waiting on the Lord, you know, he could have split that team. He could have left. He could have just started a lot of dissension. And just the character and the godly character within him to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stick this out, and I believe you're going to give me another opportunity to shine. So it was wonderful to see.
Wow, so right then at the beginning, the Holy Spirit had already spoken to her heart. How about you, Coach Brazek? What do you think?
Well, I hate to admit, first of all, I was working that day, and I didn't see it, so I'm not even familiar with the incident you're talking about, but there are similar incidents that occur around the country. But I just have to share with you, I'm just busting with enthusiasm and anticipation and joy. There is a brother, a believer, up in Ohio. He is a news journalist, a sports writer. And what he does is he finds these athletes all over the country, whether it be mostly in professional sports, and he covers all sports. But when he writes, he does not write about sports. He writes about the individuals, and he finds individuals of faith and individuals who show a good example, individuals who have a charitable heart. And he publishes the good news and shares the stories and the testimony about these people, and I am so grateful for his professional work, but for his ministry. And what really excites me is that he will be appearing weekly along with some other very, very high – I've got a good lineup starting next year. His name is Del Didway, and he will be appearing on my program every Tuesday evening to share his stories. And I am just grateful for the opportunity that I see in athletics for people to share their testimony, for people to exercise their faith, because a lot of football is mental. And I think believers have an edge in competition when it comes to mental challenges and physical challenges, such as football and other sports. So I'm not familiar with the incident that you're referring to. I'd like to know more. But let me just share it, and I may have to leave early, so let me kind of do everything I'm going to do here. The Florida State rivalry game was held last Saturday, and Florida won overwhelmingly. So, of course, the media is interviewing the winning coach, the head football coach. Now, my wife had told me this guy was a class act, but he's during the interview – some of his players had, you know, that flag that they run up and down the sideline with, you know, had a gator on it and all that. Some of his players were headed to midfield on the FSU stadium. They were headed to midfield to plant the Florida flag at midfield of the Florida State football field. The coach literally interrupted the interview with the press, you know, national press, and said, excuse me. And did something to the effect of went out and told those players, get yourself back to the locker room. We don't act like that. What an example. What character, what class. That was very inspiring to me. And so I love to hear stories like that. And so tell me more about the incident that you're referring to, because I always get inspiration from such things.
Well, I think the ball game, Alabama's ball game is always, you know, to me, wonderful. And Well, personally to me, you know, I always think of the faith field interpretation of, you know, what is really happening here? Why is it that one state always manages to be on top? Well, I really think one of the things that I've seen is, you know, this coach and his team is unapologetic about their faith. He does not get onto them about showing their faith. They're not censured or anything. And I think we've seen it result, you know, when you put the foundation first. I mean, he's able to really, a lot of these young men are controlled by the Holy Spirit. They have such respect for their coach, and you see it exhibited. So I think that was, you know, that was God holding up a standard on how young people are supposed to act, right? And they're being taught the very best. They've got one of the best coaches there is in the nation. But also that with this win, we saw, you know, where Tua won last year, the last game of the season, and Jalen had to step back, and he had a chance to leave the team, but he decided to stay. And there were others. So Jalen wasn't the only one that decided to stay when they could have left. And so he decided just to tough it out and just to do his best to learn his trade and to be obedient. And from what I've understood him to say, you know, he trusted God. And then God gave him, you know, again, the same story that happened where, you know, Tua had to step in and help the team. Jalen was able to step in and help the team because Tua got hurt. And Jalen shone bright, you know, God shone bright and used. And then when they asked him a question at the end at the award program, you know, there's Jalen unapologetically also saying, you know, what happened was because he trusted in God. You know, he gave it to God. And I think, Pastor Troy, you know, as a man of faith, when you see an athlete like that on a nationwide platform, giving God the glory, you can't help but think that God is pleased.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a testimony it is to other young people that hear that. And I do think that, and a lot of people may not agree with me on this, but I, you know, Alabama being on top for so long, and even, you know, Auburn sneaking in there. We've, you know, been in a couple national championship games ourselves the last 10 years. We won one. We barely lost another one to Florida State, Coach. But it just seems like it's almost like God has his hand on the state, you know. And it's just I take it as somewhat being somewhat prophetic that God does have his hand on the state. And I believe that we are supposed, Alabama is supposed to be the tip of the spear, and we're supposed to lead in righteousness and in certain things. And so it's so refreshing to see young people, you know, young men trusting in the Lord. You know, like I said, you don't see too many times a 21-year-old who go through that kind of adversity. And Coach, you probably remember last year during the national championship game, Hurts had been the starting quarterback for Alabama, took him to two straight national championship games, and really had only lost two games his whole career at Alabama, and was not having a very good game against Georgia in the national championship game. At halftime, Nick Saban decided to go with the backup who brought them back from a deficit to win the national championship. And then going into this year, Hurts lost his starting job to Tua. And so that was the whole thing, is that he decided, you know, people thought he was going to transfer and leave or start dissension. And he just trusted in God and said, God, I'm going to trust in you and stick it out and persevere and allow God to build character through that. And so this, and as Diana was just saying, in this year's game, Tua gets hurt. He's really suffering with his ankles and knees, and he's getting hit, and he can't get away from the rush. And finally he got hit one time. He got stepped on by his own offensive lineman, and it almost looked like he broke his ankle, but it was just a real bad high ankle sprain, and they had to take him out of the game. So Jalen Hurts comes in like in the middle of the third quarter, and he returns the favor and leads them to victory. And it was poetic justice to see it happen that way. And then the two men embrace after the game, hugging each other. And it was just wonderful to see.
Well, Troy and Diana, this is more than just heartwarming and inspiring. You know, there's a verse that Paul penned in the New Testament that says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. You know, in our daily lives, we spend a lot of time manipulating our circumstances and complaining about our circumstances, but the scripture tells us, it says that Paul said he learned. He didn't say that it was natural, that we all, it just comes naturally. He said, I've learned to be content, and I think that that's my takeaway from that inspiring story, is he learned to be content in the situation that he was in. Most people probably would not have faulted him if he would have gone elsewhere, but he had made a commitment. And, you know, when you, and this translates and plays itself out and manifests itself in life every day. I mean, if you think of marriage, we all see the wedding ceremony. We think they lived happily ever. No, there are times when it's tough. There's times when you have to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not that it's the easy thing to do. And these stories inspire me, but these stories are not just fiction or inspirational. They literally are rooted in the truth that's in the Bible that God shares with us.
Amen.
Amen. Well, with that in mind, I guess that we're going to lead into education. And I'm so thanking God when I saw the election in Florida and Georgia, because we're right in between, you know, those two states, and it helps us. You know, what our brothers and sisters are doing affects us. We no man is an island. And they were so encouraging that DeSantis has said he's going to get rid of Common Core, the Kemp. The new governor of Georgia said the same thing, and we're right in the middle, and it helps us, and it helps the country. And I think, Troy, what you were saying, kind of like Alabama's the tip of the spear. I think Alabama's going to get a blessing for their stand on the pro-life bill. Alabama's going to get a blessing on their stand and the acknowledgement of God with the Ten Commandments. And I think we got a blessing with just seeing what these two young men, what an encouragement for anybody, whether you're an atheist or what. What an encouragement. And for young people, you know, young people don't have enough heroes, and they could actually see two people here that could be their hero, because like you said, they really stood their ground and they were content. You know, Jalen was content, and it says a lot to young people who's maybe not where they need to be, you know, and they're not in that position that they'd like to be. Just wait upon the Lord. The Bible does say that. And so I think it's very encouraging, but I guess I need to go on to the education. We have been fighting this miseducation for 8 years called Common Core and the ESSA. But as I've been told by some of the leaders, first things first, you must get rid of the very basic, which is the Common Core. It's been a hard fight. But I am so encouraged, because I've heard today that it's so bad that even teachers are really actively going against it. They're not force feeding. There's some teachers out there who are finding a way, even to the point of being fired, to teach these kids the right way. And that was so very encouraging. And there is hope, because God is hope. But I want to also share for those parents that do not know what's going on with education, they're just going along. I'd like for you, Pastor Troy, to really, can you start off with talking about your experience? Because you were that parent that was involved. You actually saw what your children were seeing. And in one particular case, you made a very big stand, and what resulted from that. If you don't mind, can you share that with the listeners?
Yeah, let me give you two very quick examples of when, you know, all of my kids now are out of high school. My youngest daughter, Jasmine, graduated last year. My daughter, Selena, graduated a couple years before that, my middle daughter. And while she was there, there were two things that we had to deal with. One was dealing with a book that was written by Toni Morrison, which, if you remember, in our state, it was outlawed that any of Toni Morrison's books could even be used in any of her literature, because they were so graphic and so pornographic in nature, and so tasteless that they were supposed to be outlawed in the state of Alabama, and yet my daughter came home, as I believe this was her junior year of high school, and she had this book, and she was supposed to be reading it, and then every one of the kids in the class was supposed to do a book report on the book. And as over a couple day period, as we would kind of sit in the den and she'd read the book, I kept noticing she was frowning. I was looking at her countenance. You know, as parents, we're always looking at our kids on the sly, even when they don't know we're looking. And so finally I said, "Selena, you know, are you okay?" Or I can't remember if I said that to her, or if she said, I think she came to me and she said, "Dad, I can't read this book." And I said, "Why?" And so within the first like two or three chapters, she underlined three different excerpts in the book. And let me tell you guys what these excerpts were. One of them was some boys that were in the story, some characters that were some young men in the story, and it was they were a graphic depiction in words of them having sex with cows. While they were having the sex with the cows, they were fantasizing about other women in the story, young women in the story, that they were going to rape. There was actually two excerpts of that particular thing, and then a third one was a young girl who was in the kitchen and baking cookies or doing some kind of baking in the kitchen, and then a young man, one of the characters in the story, comes in the kitchen, and they end up having oral sex, and it's very explicit. So once I saw that, I said, you know, no, you won't be reading this book. I sent an email to the English teacher, and also in concurrent, I sent an email to the principal of the school. And the principal, the English teacher never responded to me, never responded to my email. And the email, I started off with the scripture that says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, you know, think on these things. That's how I started it. And I started talking to them about the human mind and spirit and how whatever you put in it, that's what's going to come out of it. And we have a responsibility as educators and parents to make sure that we're putting the right type of material in their spirits. And I went on and on and on, and I challenged the principal, because she told me at one time she was a Christian. So once you tell me you're a Christian, I'm going to challenge you on the word. And her answer back to me was, well, this book is college and helps them to become college and career ready. And you know, the rigors and all the words that they've been told that they have to use. And I sent back another email to her, and once again I challenged her in her Christianity, and I actually told her what page and paragraph to read these things. I said, now, as a Christian, do you think it's right for high school students to be reading this? And I called it porn in written form. I said, this is porn in written form. And I said, out of the thousands of books out there that have been written by multiple authors that build character or talk about how the decisions you make in life will reflect what your life becomes or whatever, world peace. I mean, there's so many great books out there that can stimulate the mind and build character. Why are we choosing a book like this? And so I had to threaten her, and I went on local radio stations here in Montgomery explaining to them what happened. And at the end of it, Selena was one of 24 other students that got another book to read, and I told them that I would be the one that would look through the book and decide if it was appropriate for my daughter to read. And she ended up getting a book that she liked, and she did a book report, and she got an A on it. But here's the problem. 24 other students in her class read that book, and no other parent stood up or you know, said anything. And so the other incident was she was told to do a homework assignment where she had to come home and go to a certain website, and there were questions they were asking on the website. What is your parents' political affiliation? Do you have a gun in the home? And it was about 30 questions that were just personal questions about our home. And I was out of town. I had a speaking engagement in Huntsville that night, my wife called me. She said, hey, Selena got this assignment. When I went and saw what they were asking, I told her not to do it until I talked to your dad. And I told her, I said, yeah, absolutely not. Don't you touch it. And I had to go back up. And this particular time, I ended up speaking to – I went up there personally and spoke to the vice principal. And he said, well, you know, we're just trying to – I said, no, see, this is the reason – you guys are collecting data on my daughter that will stay with her for life. And so I would not let her do the assignment, nor would I make sure that she was not penalized for not having the grade. So these are the kind of things that we were constantly dealing with. Let me throw in one last thing there, a third example. Same year, same daughter, she had a world history teacher, and she said he was extremely anti-Christian. And she said every single day as he was teaching world history, he would say derogatory things about Christianity. She said, Dad, he was so convincing, and the other, you could tell the students were being influenced by what he said. So I told my daughter, I said, this is what I want you to do. We're going to give him enough rope to hang himself. And I told her to take a little pad and pen, and every day make a little journal of the anti-Christian things that he was saying, and then I'm going to bring it to the principal. And sure enough, after we got about 2 weeks' worth of material, I go to the principal and says, okay, on January so-and-so, he said this, and just word for word. And she called him down to her office. He got slapped on the wrist, and she said for the rest of the year, he didn't say anything, because I told her, I said, if he's going to speak against my Lord and Savior, then I'll be in the class every day, and I'm going to speak up for my Lord and Savior. I said, now, if he wants, I said, his job is to teach world history. And if he's going to go beyond world history and start speaking against Christianity, then I'm going to come up and sit in the class, and I'll start speaking for Christianity. And so these are the kind of things that we had to deal with as when Common Core was brought into it. So I'm going to stop there because I know you might have some other questions and want to bring Coach Prasic in, but those were the things that I experienced with Common Core.
Wow. Coach Prasic, you want to give your input on that?
Well, gosh, those are horrifying stories, and I cringe hearing it. But I am reminded of what my brother says, is how many parents said nothing. My experience with my own daughter wasn't near as dramatic, but I will share. It is common in science, to teach evolution. And I don't believe in evolution. I believe the Genesis account. And I believe that it's more than just a scientific discipline. I believe that evolution is an attempt to explain our existence apart from God. And if we can explain our existence apart from God, then there is no God. And if there is no God, then there is no moral fabric. There is no sense of restraint. We might as well live in a hedonistic way because there are no consequences. Well, anyway, so what I was focused on is counter-programming some of the things that were being taught as a fact. One of the facts was that the Grand Canyon was carved over millions and millions of years by the Colorado River, which, I've been to the Grand Canyon, and if you look down there at the bottom of it, there's the Colorado. It would be logical to conclude that. However, that is not a fact. The fact is that the elevation of the northernmost rim of that canyon is lower in altitude than the southernmost rim of that canyon. And last time I checked, water does not flow uphill. So they teach these things as a fact, when in fact, when they're really just a theory. It's a way we explain our surroundings and in fact our existence. But I spent a lot of time counter-programming the things at school. I never had to actually fight. But I assure you that would my daughter had been reading such as what I just heard, yes, I would have been up there. I might have had my daughter write a book report on that book, but it wouldn't be what the teacher expected.
Well, those are really – I'm so glad that you are both just wonderful parents, very much involved. But, you know, in today's days, a lot of the parents are just so frustrated. They don't know what to do. Even the teachers are so frustrated that they don't know what to do. And I did tell the folks, the title of this is What to Do When Schools Are No Longer About Education. And I guess it goes back to the beginning. Our hope is in the Lord. And that's what the story of Jalen and Tua is about. I was so excited about Tua at the very beginning of his career, when people found out who he was, that he was really giving God the glory. I mean, that got posted on Facebook, and people by the millions heard that. And you know what? They really, it resonated. And this story with Jalen is the same thing. It's resonating. People need hope. So with that in mind, Pastor Troy, you know, we're trying to do what we can in the physical realm. But I think there's something that everybody can do in the spiritual realm, and I would like for them to hear from you what you think they can do when schools are no longer about teaching.
Thank you for asking that question. I was talking to my wife about this before I came on tonight. And, you know, the Bible in Ephesians 6 talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rules of darkness. And this is a spiritual battle. This is a battle of light and darkness for the minds, souls, and futures of our children. And what we have to do, I think there's a couple things we have to do. Number one, we have to, as believers, begin to fight this battle in the spirit realm. And you know, Diana, you and I would, the countless prayers we have sent up before heaven against Common Core, and there are demonic spirits that are attached to this curriculum. And I know that sounds it sounds strong. It's a strong thing to say, but when you see the pressure that is put on these children, when you see the increase in the amount of self-mutilation, when you see the suicide rates that are skyrocketing since this has been implemented nationwide, I believe that there are demonic spirits that are attached to this curriculum. And the enemy has found the vehicle. You know, I want you to think about this. We know what God knows the beginning from the end, right? He's the Alpha and Omega. Time means nothing with God. He knows the beginning. That's why we have the book of Revelation, because God could look into the future and tell us what was going to happen. And so knowing this, and knowing that we believe the Bible, and knowing that God's word is inerrant and 100% true, the Bible says one day there's going to be a one-world dictator, there's going to be a one-world government, and a one-world religion. So how do you get there? What is the vehicle? Satan was looking for a vehicle to get to this. How do we get to this? In order to do that, you must manipulate thought and get the vast majority of people in the world to think the same way. And the vehicle that he decided to use was education. Because if you think about it, if darkness can take over the education system, then from kindergarten to 4 or 5 years of college, you have given yourself now 25 years of being able to indoctrinate children into mores of what's right and wrong. And we have right now a society of people who call light darkness and darkness light. And education was the vehicle that Satan used to get us there. So first thing we have to do is we have to battle in the realm of the spirit, because that's where the true battle is. You know, the Bible says that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so what that basically means is just like if you get pulled over by a cop, if you're in a 50 doing a set, if you do 70 in a 50, you get pulled over, that cop writes you that ticket. When you go to court, the judge backs up that cop. you know, the cop has the authority to write that ticket. And what God is saying, we have the authority in the spirit realm. He said, whatever you bind out of your mouth in the earth realm, whatever you bind in the spirit realm, he said, I will, then the power of heaven, that in heaven, I will give you that authority, and I will back it up with my spirit. I will back it up with my power. I will back it up with my word. And so we have to begin to now war and bind these spirits up. And then he said, whatever you loose. So whenever you bind something, you lose something else. If I'm praying for somebody that needs a healing, I bind up the spirit of infirmity, but then I loose the spirit of healing. So we need to take that key in the kingdom and begin to bind and loose these areas. And then secondarily, I think we have a responsibility of parents, because I was talking to my wife about socialism and communism. You know, it was just, about a week and a half ago, Diana, there was something circulating saying it was another school that brought somebody in to talk to the students, that the parents had no idea what it was, and it was promoting homosexuality once again. And what I told my wife today is that, listen, you got to understand that communists and socialists believe that your children belong to the state. I've always said that when government gets too big, our founding fathers never wanted our government to be this big. When government gets too big, government begins to compete with God. If you look at communist China, communist Russia, the very first thing when the government takes over is they make people get rid of all their Bibles and any kind of religious paraphernalia. The reason why they do that is because government now becomes God. And they begin to tell you what is right and wrong and what you can and cannot do. And so right now in our nation, the government, okay, the NEA believes that the children belong to them. And so what they don't care that parents don't get permission to have their kids listen to certain things. What they'll do is they'll bring these people in, they will plant the seeds of indoctrination, and then once it gets out into the media, they'll apologize. But they're going to, every month or two, you're going to hear something like this, because they don't care about the apologetics, and they don't, you know, apologizing. They don't care about the parents. All they really want to do is indoctrinate our children. So I think we have a responsibility right now to get your children out of school, out of public schools. Now, I think, Diana, we still continue to fight in government to get rid of Common Core. Yes, in the natural realm, we live in this natural earth, we still try to put the right people on state school boards, and we put pressure on our state legislature, and we put people in office like the senator and his governor in Florida that want to get rid of Common Core. We have to do that part of it, and spiritually we have to pray. But until then, I urge parents to get their kids out of that Babylonian system that is indoctrinating our children. So get them out. If that means homeschool, homeschool. If you have the resources to get them into private schools and Christian schools, do that. And then finally, we want to put enormous emphasis on churches now, the body of Christ, to get back involved in education. We have a president and vice president right now where the atmosphere is, if the church wants to get back fully involved in educating our kids, we won't have an administration that will fight us. And the churches need to start Christian academies again, try to make them as affordable as possible, and get as many kids out of this system. Because I'm telling you, the devil is stealing our children, and we have to be proactive.
Oh, indeed, we have to be proactive. And I thank God that, you know, there is faith in God that is the very foundation of this nation. And we do not, you know, our group is one of those that is one of the most important things in the solution against this miseducation that's going on in our schools. I thank God that God says we are to care for our brothers. We are to love our brothers. We do ourselves. And that is why, you know, we keep on fighting the good fight. We do encourage those that are listening to please homeschool your child. You know, Joan Landis was in a state board meeting in Utah. And, you know, that was one of the things that she said, she told them, is you know, you're trying, this group has already got it figured out. They're the most sought after group by colleges because their students are really on the top. You know, they are so learned. And you compare that with what public schools are doing, no matter how much money they put in, they cannot come up with what is already been done by homeschoolers, you know, the very best in education. And it's because of the relationship of the parent to the child. These are, you know, you don't have to be a learned PhD teacher or a master, you know, master's equivalent teacher to produce the very best learning in kids. A simple mother who cares about her child can find a way. And I want to also mention this because, you know, like we said, faith is so important because it is the foundation of this nation. They start off really on the Mayflower, asking God to be part of the process in instituting this nation. They wouldn't even get off the Mayflower until they had the Mayflower Compact, you know. And so faith is not something that, you know, I know that today's day people sneeze at people of faith, but as God is holding up that standard, you know, he held up the standard with Tua and Jalen. Hey, if you go in my way, if you follow me and trust me, I will take you where I want to take you. And it's even beyond your dreams. You know, I see Jalen so dumbfounded. He can't hardly describe. He can hardly describe what has happened to him because he's just so overwhelmed by the magnanimity of, you know, of his Lord Jesus Christ on his life. And it's like that for everybody. God does not prefer one over another. He loves us all. So that that possibility is there for everybody that would put their faith and trust in him. Anyway, I diverse. But I do think that faith is so, it does not need to be apologized over. And I think that's what made Alabama so great, as we talked about in football. And that's what makes children great. You know, the homeschoolers, I've talked to a homeschooling mom that taught her children to go to college by 12. And one of them is the first female, the youngest Navy doctor ever. I mean, her kids got to be smart. One of the things that she said was the foundation was every day they had to read the Word of God. So, Troy, I think, you know, we've got to quit apologizing. And with that in mind, as you as a pastor know that the power of the Word is there, and Coach Prezek, you know that there's power in God's Word. So give us your thoughts on that.
Who are you referring to?
Coach Prezek, I'm giving you your turn.
Okay, it's my turn. Okay, well, I've got the sniffles here. The fundamental job of being a parent is to not just to educate, but to actually it is to indoctrinate, but indoctrinate in the truth. And I don't know how you all do it in Alabama, but I know here in Florida, when we have newborn babies, we have a baby dedication time at our church at least a couple of times a year. The church needs to join in the effort of parenting. The family was the very first institution created by God. The institution of marriage preceded the institution of the church by hundreds of us. Even if you don't have children, as the body of Christ, we all have a responsibility to one another to support one another and hold each other up and encourage one another. And I think we can't just walk through our lives sitting on a pew listening to good sermons. I think that those good sermons have value in what is it? It's not what effect it has in the seats. It's what effect it has in the streets. We have a duty to carry out that word and live out that word. And the other duty that parents have when they say educate our children is we not only indoctrinate them, but we care for them and nurture them in the truth. So that's a battle that everybody can fight. Not all of us are going to be the quarterback of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Yet all of us are given some platform of influence. So I love hearing these stories from these high-profile people, but I remind myself that I am the quarterback of my family. as a mother, you are the quarterback of your family. And I think that we sometimes say, well, you know, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm just a so-and-so. No, you're not just a so-and-so. Jesus Christ died for you, and if you were the only person on the planet, he would have died for you. So we all have a role in leadership, whether we think of ourselves as leaders or not. If we don't think of ourselves as leaders, we are thinking wrongly. So I think it's time for all of us to step up wherever we find ourselves, and whatever start you can make, whatever first step you can make, make it. I think of the example of the lantern, I mean, the old Coleman lantern, you know, and I would be in the forest, in the woods at night, and that lantern would only glow and illuminate an area about a 3 to 4 foot radius. But you see, I don't need to know what's way out there. I just need to know what's 4 feet in front of me, because when I step forward, the light steps forward with me. So we are referred to as the light and as the salt. Well, we need to be moving that light forward. And we are also instructed to put that light up on a lampstand, not to hide and go hide in our prayers and go apologize for being a Christian, but we are told to proclaim boldly. In fact, it says if we don't, it says if we're ashamed of Christ, Christ will be ashamed of us. What more do we need to know? I think we know enough. I think what we need to do is get moving.
Thank you for that, Mark. Coach Mark Krazek. I know we're almost out of time. It's funny how time just flies, but I think the conversation today is a God-made conversation, because I didn't know what we were going to talk about. But, you know, with God putting the highlight on two men, young men filled with faith, we've got to talk about the hope that every parent needs to know is there, which is there is hope in God. And yes, you know, those scriptures, the word of God that he gave us, they are for life. They mean a lot. They're very important, really. And every family has access to that, you know, the Holy Scriptures. And to me, there's something spiritual that happens to me when parents read the Bible to their children, the word of God. There is a washing, a spiritual washing. They cannot see it. But I have seen it in Sunday school where young people are reading the Word of God, how it changes them. You know, they don't understand it. I don't understand it. But it's like soap. You know, it cleans you up in the spiritual realm. And I've seen where a man that was hooked on pornography was able, you know, they say when you're hooked on porn, that's one of the very toughest things to get out of. But he immersed himself in the Word of God. He got to stay with a pastor, and everything he heard, saw, listened to was the Word of God. And he says what he thought was impossible became possible. His mind became right. And all those, you know, thoughts and visions that he had of all those sexual immorality and, you know, he was a changed man. So the Word of God is able to cleanse us and help us. And we would hope you, the parent, would see the power of that, because really the founding fathers knew it. I mean, when you see the quotes from George Washington, we're trying to reinvent the wheel, but we can't do it without the Word of God, because that's the foundation of this nation. That's what they saw. The whole world was dying. They lived in a dark world, and they came to this nation where they wanted their children to be able to have life. And it came from knowing the Word of God. And so we just really want to encourage. And I just love the John Winthrop, the founder of the first governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. This is what he said. He had a charge for those that were with him. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world. We shall open the mouths of enemies to speak evil of the ways of God. We shall shame the faces of many of God's worthy servants and cause their prayers to be turned into curses upon us till we be consumed out of the good land where we are going. So he wants us to remember those words. He wanted his posterity to have better than what he had. And that's why they undertook the, you know, this great adventure, which back then was not an adventure. It was hard. So I like his charge. And also, I want to, there's something that Donna Garner, one of our dear friends from Texas, she's a Cajun activist, I think over 30 years in teaching and still has a teaching certificate. But here's one of those things that she sent from Breitbart. Democrats oppose due process for students accused of sexual misconduct. And this really targets young men. In her little article here, she's talking about the rate of rape and sexual assault has really been misrepresented. And now it's the young men that are at stake because they're not even going to get due process. So this is what happens. You know, most of us have children and we might have a young man. So we care about this issue. But Troy, this is why really, you know, the Constitution is so important. People are trying to change the Constitution and our foundation, but really even an atheist will not have a nation worth living in if we don't have the Constitution. That is the very foundation of why we even have the freedoms that we have, unlike most countries in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up the Constitution, because, you know, in high schools now and in college, the Constitution is no longer taught. And to me, it's like if somebody left you, I mean, the Constitution is so important that we understand, I mean, our whole, all of our liberties hinge on that, on the Constitution. And when you don't have the Constitution taught and understood fully where our rights come from and why it was so important that our founders laid this out in black and white, it's like somebody leaving you $1 million, your uncle leaving you $1 million in his will, but nobody ever telling you. The question is, are you really a millionaire? And that's what's happening, is there is a deliberate attempt for people not to understand, our children not to understand the Constitution. If you don't understand it, you have no appreciation for it. So, Diana, I'd like to leave parents that are and grandparents that are listening tonight to the broadcast with this thought. I heard a preacher many years ago that I really respect, and he said in a message that your children have two destinies. They have two destinies when they're born. And while they're in their mother's womb, it is God who administers and gives gifts, talents, and abilities. But Satan does not know what those gifts, talents, and abilities are. But as soon as your child is born, he is watched. Satan watches your children. There is a demon that is put on assignment to watch your child to see just what talents and abilities he has. And then Satan tries to take those talents and abilities and use them for the kingdom of darkness. And, of course, God has a plan and a purpose for them to be used for the kingdom of God. And our schools right now, and you've heard me preach before out of Daniel chapter 1. And if anybody that's listening today, if you have not read Daniel chapter 1, if you read it and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you as you your thoughts as you read it, you will see Common Core. There is nothing new under the sun. And you will see how the Babylonians took the children of Israel and they said, we're going to teach them the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And then in 3 years, they'll be ready for the king's service. This is exactly what's going on with Common Core. Those gifts, talents, and abilities that God has put in our children, Satan is purposing those for using them for the kingdom of darkness. What is happening today is not education. We call it education. There has been a long time, it's been a long time since kids go to school and are taught how to think. Today they are taught what to think. And you are punished. It's a system of slavery. You are punished if you think anything outside the mainstream. If you don't believe it, look at what happens to politicians, or look what happens to actors or anybody, sports people that think outside the political correctness norms that have been set up, you are punished. And so our kids are not being taught how to think. They are being taught what to think. And you have a responsibility to get your kids out of this system, to fight every way that you can fight. Fight through your local school boards, fight through the House and the Senate in your state. But most importantly, you have a responsibility to those children and to God. The Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. And how can we train them up if for 40 hours a week they are in a system, they are in a place that you've given access to them? I think you have a responsibility to take Satan's access away from them. Reinforce, Diana, you were talking about these two men, these two young men at Alabama. We have to make sure we reinforce the Word of God. That's something I did with my kids. I have to admit, the last couple of years, they did go to public schools. At times we homeschooled, and at times we had them in private schools. But while they were in those public schools, we reinforced the Word of God because we knew what was happening, and we kept that Word of God reinforced with them so they would not be swayed away from the truth. And I'll leave you with that thought.
Thank you so much. And it's been a wonderful time with you, both you and Coach Brazek, Pastor Troy Towns. We are so blessed to have you. And folks, we have a website, hopeinc.tv, if you're interested in having Pastor Troy Towns speak. Please message us. He just got back from speaking in Utah, and we're hoping to be able to share the link to that, a video of that. And we're so grateful to have Joan Landis. She's an expert on mental health, and Coach Prasik has his own ministry on PJNet. And really, if you're a Twitter user, you need to get to know him. You need to follow him. There's a lot of things going on over there that's going to be help. But hopeinc.tv, we do have a call to action page, and one of the things that we're trying to wake people is that CNN is in your schools. They do not need to be there. We know they're fake news, and they're really an enemy of our country, unfortunately. And so we're going to call them out, and we're asking people, go to your school board. Get rid of that 10-minute news that's coming in your schools with fake news CNN. Also, sex ed, opt in. Instead of just, you need to be proactive. There needs to be a sex ed opt in available in your school, in your state. We're working on it in Alabama. Sex ed opting in, and we're hoping for the best. I mean, how can you go against it? Parents need to be able to know that their children are not going to be allowed to listen to all that sex ed trash. If they do, then they need to sign and let their child do it, but most parents will not. So that's why we're trying to get the sex ed opt-in. Of course, there's parents' term with a POTUS. We're calling for the president to be able to listen to us with a rate of suicide by young people is really a national crisis. But with that in mind, we are going to just ask you again, go to hopeinc.tv. We're going to share with you good information. There's a news magazine there to hear the latest conservative news, and share it because the church needs to be awakened. And we hope that we can help a little bit in that. But in closing, I would like to ask Coach Prasik. We like to give everything to God in prayer because we know He is able. The founders knew it. It's like what Pastor Troy said, you've been given more than $1 million. You've been given a priceless gift, and that is to go before the God of heaven and earth that can make a difference and stop things in time, in His own time, and in His own choosing, to hear your prayer. And He will do great things that you cannot even imagine, but you've got to go to Him in humble prayer and repentance. But I'm going to turn it over to Coach Prasik and ask him to please close us in prayer.
Thank you, Diana. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly realizing, Father, that we are totally dependent upon you. Father, our wisdom is frail. Our best of efforts, Father, will never be enough. Our most righteous moment, Father, is but dirty rags in your view. Father, we need you. Father, we grieve in so many ways for our nation. A nation, Father, that you have blessed a nation that you have prospered has become a nation that shakes its fist in your face. Father, if you rain down the judgment on this country that you rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah, you would be righteous and just. But Father, you have withheld that. Father, we have a responsibility to further your kingdom. Father, it's a duty, but it is also a joy to bring the gospel, the good news of hope, of righteousness, of peace. Yet, as my brother in Christ has shared, we are in a war, a spiritual war, Father. The forces that we face, the forces that are arrayed against us, are more powerful than we are. But Father, just as Goliath was more powerful than David, Father, you have given us the five stones that David had. They come in the form of our work. They come in the form of our paycheck. They come in the form of our relationships. They come in the form of our conversations. Father, may we use each of those as weapons of war and purpose them for you and to exalt your name above all names. Father, I thank you for my brother and my sister in Christ. Father, I thank you for their support and their encouragement. But Father, I want to be an encouragement to them. Father, bind us together, all brothers and sisters in Christ. May we set aside any differences. Your word says that we are to not quarrel over opinions. Father, may we be bound in the truth, the redemption, the mercy, the salvation of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, give us courage. Father, give us strength. Father, give us the territory and the resources that we need, and give us the resolution to use those as weapons in spiritual warfare. For you have assured us the victory is won. May we walk victoriously here on earth as we will walk victoriously in heaven. And may your will be done here on earth as it is on heaven. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you both. And we look forward to having our show again next week. So listeners, please come and join us and share the podcast. I'd like to leave with one scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. And this is so wonderful. This is like our Heavenly Father. And you know, I know if you're a parent, you think these things about your children. But it is so incredible to think that the God that we serve, the God who made everything, has these thoughts towards. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The founding fathers trusted him so much that they braved the dark ocean to come to this nation, and the result of their trusting him has benefited all of us, including you listeners and me. And so we ask that you, you know, try him, try God. And in today's miseducation, we know it will make a difference. So God bless you. May he shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. God bless everyone. Bye, Mark. Bye,
Good night,
Pastor
folks.
Troy.
Good night. Good night, you guys.
Good night.